blessing, 500,000 offered up if they can get it matched. All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Acts 16:31. Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we turn to look into your word again tonight, I pray, Father, that you would be with us, that you would guide us and direct us through this, that you would get all the glory, honor, and praise from this evening and throughout our lives. Father, we're looking forward to what you have for us as we continue looking at the doctrine of salvation and as we look at these different things, and we've been looking at the Calvinistic view of things over the last several weeks, and I pray, Father, as we continue that, that you would just bring the truths of Scripture to life, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to address tonight this Calvinistic doctrine that regeneration must precede faith in order to for man to be able to believe. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse. But this is something that they believe, and this is something they're teaching, and this is something that others are coming to believe because of the teaching on it, and yet it goes against what the Word of God says, which unfortunately, as I've said many times, people will not study Scripture to find out what's going on. They will just believe if someone stands behind a pulpit and says, "Thus saith the Lord," then that's the truth. And they won't go, they won't be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily to see what they were being taught was true. They will just absorb it and believe it is truth. And sometimes you can talk to them till you're blue in the face and they won't change. You can show them from the Scriptures what they believe is not accurate, and they still will not change their position because somebody that they believe in told them otherwise. This teaching is stated by the well-known Calvinistic theologian R.C. Sproul, and I quote, "A cardinal point of Reformed theology is the maxim, regeneration precedes faith. Before a person can choose Christ, he must be born again. One does not first believe, then become reborn." Now, we understand that's goofy, right? We get that. But there's a lot of people who will buy into that. As I've said, many people will buy into a lie and not think twice about it when the truth is staring them in the face, and they'll ignore it. And it's mainly, a lot of it is man will follow man before he follows God. Doesn't make sense. God should come first. This teaching directly contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture that faith precedes the new birth, regeneration, and the new life of salvation. And there's several scriptures that we could go through and look at, but Acts 16:31 that I read, obviously, very clearly says that they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first, then salvation will come. And then Ephesians 2:8, we all know that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God," right? And then look at John 1:12-13. John 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Every single person comes to God the same way. had so many people say, we're all serving the same God, we're just all getting there in a different route. No, we're not. That's not the way that works. I've said over and over and over, and I'll keep saying as long as I have breath, God set the plan of salvation, and there's one way. There's not many, there's one. If we want to come to Jesus Christ so we can have access to God the Father, then we've got to do it His way. We don't get to tell God what we want. He tells us what we need to do. And then we need to be obedient. Calvinism stands for limited atonement, the doctrine that Christ died only for the elect. The Bible teaches that Christ died for all men. I've said over and over and over, and I've told you I get a little irritated with Baptists who say, if you're not an independent Baptist, you can't be saved. That is a bold-faced lie. People can get saved regardless of what church they're going to, or even if they're not attending a church, people can get saved. Being an independent Baptist does not make you saved. I think we're going to get to heaven and we're going to find that there's some people that had aligned with independent Baptists that won't be there, because they trusted in the wrong thing for salvation. That's why when I took the church, I said, I can't assume that everybody on the church rolls is saved. But I can assume that there's lost people here. And so therefore they need to know the truth of how they too can be saved. Christ did taste death for every man. This is a whosoever gospel. Not a you might make it and you might not make it. It's if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, ye shall be saved. There's no question about it. Look at Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. Not just those who are part of the elect. I'd like to know who chooses the elect, too. Who gets to decide who's elect and who's not? Can you imagine if it was only certain people got saved? Why wouldn't God put like a beacon on their head so we could find them, so we could go share the gospel with those people? Because God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't know which ones are going to and which ones aren't, so we need to share with everybody. Giving everybody the opportunity. I had one person tell me, there's no way that somebody can read the scriptures and get saved. They have to have someone show them, right? And they refer to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I understand unless someone guide me through it, right? No, somebody can take the scriptures and God is powerful enough to show them their need of a Savior and they can get saved. And another one told me, you can't get saved on one of the perversions. I said, yes, you can. I don't recommend staying in it, but you can use that and get someone saved. I wouldn't myself. I know the truth between the different versions of the Bible. But when you say that God cannot save someone because of fill in the blank, you're saying that God is not all-powerful. I believe God can do whatever He wishes to do. And He is not limited like we are. Then the body of Jesus was offered for all in Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice that doesn't say once for some. It says once for all. Everyone. And then Christ came to save the world in John 12:47. John 12:47 says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There was a purpose in his coming. He came to save the world. Then Christ died for sinners. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Christ's free gift of righteousness through the cross is offered to all men. I can't stress that enough. All men. In Romans 5:18 it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam came, he sinned. Because of his sin, we're all born sinners. But Jesus came and died that we could all have eternal life through his shed blood that cleanses us from all of our sin. Every last one of them. Another thing that grates on my nerves is when they tell you that you can lose your salvation. How can eternal life be eternal if you lose it? It just doesn't make any sense. But again, people will buy into these lies because some men that they hold on some high pedestal said it. And they'll follow him to death. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I know when I took the position here, Brother Anchor and I had a talk. And he said he was going to be leaving. And I told him, I said, some people will leave when you leave. He said, no, there won't. I said, yes, they will. There are people in this church because you are here. He said, that's insane. I said, trust me. There will be people leave when you leave. And we saw it. He left and we had a couple families left. There were people that were here because he was here. So are we following God or are we following man? I always say God puts people where he wants them so that every need can be met. He knows what's needed. He knows where he puts people. Our job is to follow his lead. I believe wholeheartedly that God moves people. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I believe he also keeps people in a place where he wants them for a purpose and they leave anyway. They'll be miserable. And the people they go join with will be miserable. But if people stay when God's moving them out of here, then those of us who are here will be miserable as well. We need to let God do what God does. I believe he cleanses his churches. I believe he brings who he needs in his churches. Now, we need to do our part. Don't get me wrong. We need to go out. We need to invite people in, and we need to share the gospel, and we need to see people getting saved and baptized and that. We need to do those things. That's what he's commanded us to do. But he brings the increase. We don't bring the increase. He does. We just get to be a part of the work he's doing. And I thank him for that. Christ was delivered for all. Look at Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Delivered him up for us all. And then he bore the iniquities of all. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible tells us he who knew no sin, right, became sin for us. Yeah. Every time I think about that, trading my filthy rags for his righteousness. I got the better deal for sure. The much better deal for sure. And thankful for him doing that. Christ died for all. Over and over and over we see Christ died for all. Not just for some, but for all. All men are bought by Christ's blood. This is even said to be true of lying, lost, false teachers who are denying Christ and are doomed for hell. He died for all of them. I remember years ago somebody saying, I'm not praying for that president because he's not my president and he's evil and he's wicked and he's a liar and he's a cheat and he's a... Well, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be that same thing, right? So, we're not going to pray for him that he might get saved and change into something that's better than what we have now because you don't agree with what his politics are? That's crazy. That's insane. I don't know about you, but I think we need to pray for these people who are lost that they would get saved because then things would change. Told you before, I've been praying for Putin. If Putin gets saved, can you imagine what will happen to the war in Ukraine? I think there'd be a difference there. The leaders of Hamas, if they'd get saved, and let's not kid ourselves, yes, they signed this peace agreement, right? How many times has a peace agreement been broken? I'd say probably as often as they've been signed. Now, I think it's a great move in the right direction to get people in agreement that we need to cease this garbage that's going on. But I have said and I will continue to say that peace is going to come when the Prince of Peace brings it. Until then, man's word isn't worth much at all. I learned that big time in the real estate community because we went from a one-page contract when I got into real estate to now there's hundreds of pages of contract. Because what they're trying to do is tighten up the loopholes and tighten up the loopholes and tighten up the loopholes so that people only have certain reasons they can get out of a contract that they've signed. And man continues to look for ways around the loopholes. You can tighten all you want, but there's always a way around stuff because man will find it because he doesn't want to be true to his word. The old days of a handshake was binding are gone. that should not be known amongst God's people. But I can tell you, I worked with a lot of people who professed Christ as Savior that looked for ways to get out of the contracts they signed. My job was to tell them what their legal outs were. Their job was searching for ones that we couldn't use legally. Then all men are bought by Christ's blood. As I mentioned, even, I don't care who they are, the vilest of sinner out there, right? What did Paul say? He was the chiefest of sinners. But I'm talking the vilest. I don't care if you think pedophile, I don't care, you know, I mentioned the other day I was behind a vehicle and it said, dead pedophiles don't offend again. So how about if we pray for them? That they get saved and then they don't reoffend. You want to send them to eternity in the lake of fire? People say, well, that's what they deserve. Well, that's what we deserve too. I'm just saying, we need to start getting in the mindset if people get saved, which is why Christ came, then they would change because the Bible tells us clearly, if we get saved, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're not the same person. We don't act the same. And I'd like to say it's an immediate switch-o, change-o. No, it's not. I'm a work in process. But there should be some fruit that there's a difference in the life. If there's no fruit, God said we could be fruit inspectors. And somebody argue with me, you cannot judge. Don't we judge every day? Go to the grocery store. Do you judge between Heinz and whatever, the Hunt's? When you go to the grocery store? We all know how cheap I am. It's whatever one's on sale, right? But We judge every day. But we need to do it when we're judging, when we're looking at fruit. We need to do it from God's perspective and not man's. Sometimes there's no fruit. That tells me I can question whether or not their salvation is genuine. There should be fruit, something that shows there's a difference in their life. Look at 2 Peter 2:1, and we'll end with this tonight for time. Second Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Telling you that God the Father sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to come to die for all of mankind. It doesn't exclude anyone. But He gave us free will, and we get to choose. We got to choose. If you know Christ as Savior, you got to choose. To accept or reject. When you go out and share with others and they choose to reject, that's their choice. Pray for them that someone else might come along, share the gospel, and they'll choose to accept rather than reject. Instead of yelling at them and telling them how dumb they are, right? Which totally closes them off to anyone reaching them in the future. So limited atonement, therefore, cannot be true based on Scripture. All right.